Welcome to the Real Estate Mogul Podcast, where you'll learn how to leverage investing strategies in your real estate business. Featuring in-depth masterminds with experts on real estate sales, investing, wealth building, and lead generation. With each episode, you'll build a toolbox of strategies for generating motivated seller leads and giving them out-of-the-box options to reach their goals while putting more money in your pocket. And now, here's your host, Tom Caffarella.
Welcome, everybody, to the Real Estate Mogul Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Caffarella. I have got a very, very special guest on with me today, Bob Leffler. Thank you for joining us, Bob.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
What's going on today? Anything good?
Just the normal, everyday. You know, it's dull. What am I going to tell you? I'm running a business here. It's always dull.
Yeah. So what does that kind of look like for you? I mean, I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire and everything.
What we do is at Fearless Agent is we help real estate agents who are selling, earning less than they wish they were, and they're open to the idea of having some help with that. So we do coaching, sales training. We help real estate company owners who are recruiting fewer producing agents than they wish they were.
Yep.
We coach them and train them how to do that. And then I do speaking gigs. If you pay me a bunch of money, I'll come to your company and tell my jokes. That's how it works. That's
what awesome. One of the things in your bio that I really liked is, so you said you spent your first 5 or 6 years in real estate failing, right?
Don't remind me. It was torture.
So why do you think that was? What was going on in the initial years?
Well, I did everything that the industry so-called experts told me to do, and that yep. caused my failure. And I noticed the only people around me that were succeeding, they all had some secret ingredient, something like a rich daddy, a rich spouse. You know, they didn't really need to work, and that wasn't my thing. I grew up in the hood, and you know, I was a high school dropout. I never went to college, so I get into real estate. I got a big afro. My real estate car is a Harley, so I'm poised for success, obviously.
Yeah.
So I failed, you know, miserably for about 5 years, and then I had the golden opportunity, just by chance, to go to this seminar. It was about sales. And it really was unlike anything else I had ever been to. And I remember sitting there next to this lady realtor, and I said, where in the heck have they been hiding this for 5 years? This is it. You know, it was obviously way different. So we took that course. It was like a 12-week intensive course. And then we finally learned how to sell for the first time in our career. And then
Bob, I'm getting a little bit of background there. Are you having any sort of...
I heard it noise, but I don't know what it was. So
okay.
Can you still hear it?
Yeah, when you talk a little bit, I don't know if it's the mic or...
It was a tweeting noise.
Yeah, it's a little tweeting.
Off the mic. But anyway, it was, we learned how to sell, and then she and I ended up teaming up, and we became the top producing team for Century 21 in the whole state of Arizona. So that was the good news.
Nice. So the first question I have, and this is the thing that, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, and I see it all the time in different brokerages. You know, these companies exist, you know, to train agents, to get them to produce so that it's a win-win for both parties. But I hear it all the time that agents are at places that don't have the tools in order to get them from point A to point B. How is that possible? That just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I think there, if you were became a brain surgeon and you got your medical license, and then they wouldn't say, okay, now that you got your medical license, why don't you watch a bunch of YouTube videos on brain surgery and try to figure it out? But in real estate, that essentially is the way it is. So they do a pretty good, you know, most in-house company training is how to stay out of jail, you know, which is important, you know, don't get in trouble, how to do the deals. And I don't really think they even do too great a job of that. But when it comes to actually making money, a typical company owner is not somebody who was a successful real estate agent. And even if they were, many times they had some secret hookup or they're not able to teach you how to do it their way. So, you know, I didn't have any connections. I wasn't a member of the country club or anything like that. So I had to start from the bottom up. And I did it by learning sales. I didn't change my attitude. I didn't change my personality. I didn't change my goals. I just started doing the right thing, saying the right words in every real estate sales situation, and that's what fixed it. So that's what we teach.
So it seems like I'm getting the feedback when you're moving your hands for some reason. And I don't, maybe it's not. I'm not sure. So what was it though? So, you know, you got minimal training where you're at, or you didn't get the right training. Like you said, a lot of the brokers just focus on compliance. How do you fill out a piece of paper? What was it that you learned at that course that you initially took that got you from point A to point B? What was the one, you know, variable there?
Well, you know, what we teach people is there's five presentations. So it's listing, pricing, for sale by owner, buyer, and investor. And that way you're never in a money-making situation where you don't have the exact right words to say face-to-face. And then to what to say on the phone to book the appointments to get to meet with those people. And once you have that, those are the skills, the basic skills. Then you got to get your schedule right so that every day looks the same. Mm-hmm. You delegate all the stuff that is the low dollar per hour producing stuff. You could delegate everything except prospecting, basically, if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then finally, just the systems to put them in place to make your job fun and your life easy. And then that basically is it. So that's skills, schedule, and systems. That's what we teach. And then it's just about, you know, when people, we also coach people if they have a deal, how to handle that, how to negotiate the offers, all of that. So
talk about the prospecting, because you said that's the one thing you can't delegate, because obviously that's the number one highest paid skill. So what type of prospecting do you recommend?
Well, what I did is I would start the day calling my sphere of influence, you know, people that had passed clients or friends or family or whatever. And if you, let's say you have 100 people in your sphere, you don't want to be bothering them, asking them for referrals too often. So probably three times a year. So that would be maybe one call a day. Mm-hmm. Then I would go to, and I couldn't wait to get through that so I could get to any new for sale by owners. And fearless agents never call old stale for sale by owners. They have the right words to say on the very first call. They always book the appointment if the seller is serious. And then I can't wait to get through the for sale by owners, to get to any new expireds or canceleds. And then I'd call those and get through those as quickly as I could. Then I want to get to the follow-up calls from previous cold calls that I have made. And that's where the real money gets made, because there's no competition. I always get the listing. And then I just want to spend the whole rest of the day that I can on the phone, telephone prospecting with cold calls. And this is assuming that the agent is focused on sellers. If they wanted to do buyers, then this wouldn't matter, obviously. But
yeah, I think of, as of October 2017, everyone's looking to do sellers, because working with buyers in this market. And what market are you in, by the way?
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona, land of the blazing sun, where we have no gangs, but we do have very impolite maitre d's. So be careful if you can.
Okay. Got it. So you're in a hot market too. So I think
hot. It's 140 degrees in the shade. Are you kidding me?
Hot temperatures, hot prices, hot everything. So yeah, I mean, I think like everybody's focused on getting sellers right now, because, you know, working with buyers is tough. You could work with somebody for 6 to 8 months and not get paid. So you're big on the phones, which I'm also big on. Do you recommend using a dialer, or how do you go about that?
You know, almost all of my students who use a dialer, they use mojosells.com. That's the one that I would recommend.
Yep.
Nice people. I did not use a dialer only because they had Mojo and I didn't know about it. So
yep.
I'm kind of a teched up geek guy, so I would have used it. I just didn't know about it. But I have some of my very highest producing fearless agent students that they dial with their finger.
Yep.
They're doing this. Hi. You know, so that works too.
So when somebody comes to you and they say, you know, I want to prospect, what do I need to do? How many hours do I realistically need to put in order to be successful?
Well, I don't like the way agents do their goals generally, but, you know, Like if I talk to somebody, they go, oh, I want to do 27 million. Well, 27 million doesn't mean anything if you're discounting your commission down to 1%. So I would say if you're a new agent or you're struggling, the minimum goal I would want you to have is 40 transactions or 40 listings in the next 12 months, because I know that's easy to do. It's doable. Wouldn't have to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. So the formula for that is, I'm assuming you're going to take 8 weeks worth of non-working weekdays, because, you know, every agent has holidays. Then there's the vacation. When you get back to your vacation, I got to get you out of rehab. There's all that, right? So if you have 40, that'd be 10 months. So if you do 40 listings, that's 4 a month. Mm-hmm. And that would be 1 a week. So if to get 1 listing a week, you want to schedule 5 listing appointments a week. 2 of them will cancel. You'll go on 3 and you'll get 1 at any skill level. That would be true. If you're getting more than 1 out of 3 listed, then I know you're not charging enough. So you need to raise your commission. And then that'll fix that. But, and here's the way I look at it. Scheduling 5 appointments is like painting my house. Okay. If I hire you to paint my house, you don't quit painting until it's painted. So you just don't get off the phone until you've scheduled 5. I don't care how long it takes. In your market, it might take longer than in my market. I might suck on the phone and you're better. You might have an advantage there. The price range matters. So whenever somebody says, you know, these coaches that say, oh, if it's this many calls, you get this many that, they don't know what they're talking about, because it would be different in every market. So I don't think it's a good idea to really compare yourself to other agents either, because you want to be the best that you can be, but don't get off the phone until you schedule 5. That would be my advice.
And so I know you said it's different in every market. When somebody says, I want to book 5 a week to get 3 to keep to list 1, what would you say is a range of the number of hours they need to spend on the phone on a week-to-week basis?
Well, I don't know anybody who owns their own business that doesn't work a 14-hour day. I know I do. Mm-hmm. The work ethic in real estate's funny. I say, how many hours do you spend on the phone? And they go, oh, I spend 2 hours a day on the phone. I go, really? Everybody else who's doing landscaping, like my landscaper, they're working an 8-hour day in 110-degree heat.
Yep.
You might try sitting in an air-conditioned office with a little headset on for 8 hours making cold calls like I did, and then you'll make the big bucks. So you just get off the phone until you did 5. It's that simple.
So at my office, I'm pushing people, and I'm having a difficult time getting people to do 2 hours a day. And to me, it's just like you just said, I mean, I'm working 14-hour days. And I'm looking
write down the words, you're fired.
You know,
Maybe they should do landscaping.
You know, I'm kind of like baby stepping it right now, to be completely honest with you, because a lot of them aren't used to doing any prospecting. So to get them up to 10 hours a week has been a battle. But yeah, like you said, I mean, to me, you know, you're in business for yourself and you've got to get there. So most of the people in my office are doing anywhere from 1 to 3 appointments a week. But like you said, I mean, that's not going to get you a listing a week, because you've got a couple people who are going to cancel. And then obviously you're going to convert at whatever ratio your skills are at. So,
you know, what part of it is part of it is there's so many trainers out there that teach them these horrific words to say, which many of them don't make sense. And if you're a nice person, and meaning you're not argumentative and you don't have bad phone skills, like some people are always interrupting you or they talk way too fast. That's a common thing. I always say, if you think you're talking too slow, slow down, you know. But if you're just a nice person on the phone and you teach the exact words I teach you, you're going to like the experience more. That is part of it. So I think, I'm lazy, honestly, deep down. So I don't mind working long hours, but the hard work part, that doesn't interest me. So leaning back in my chair with my feet up, dialing, I mean, I don't have a problem with that while everybody else is outside getting sweaty. I mean, so I would be happy for $400 an hour. Would you prospect 8 hours a day?
Yeah.
I would. You know, that's $800,000 a year minimum.
Yeah.
So, if you're not allergic to money, get on the phone. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. So you go.
It looks like this. It's this thing with the little buttons and stuff.
So you go FISBOs, expired, follow-up.
First the sphere, then the FISBOs, then the expireds, then follow-up calls from previous cold calls, and then the whole rest of the day I want to be on the phone cold calling. And I'm going to take lunch, and I'm going to go to dinner. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's the secret to this is schedule every listing appointment or buyer appointment or investor appointment at either 2:30 in the afternoon or 7 p.m. at night. And I don't know where I learned that. I can't remember if I figured it out myself or somebody taught it to me. But it doubles your income for the year because the morning is sacred religious prospecting time. Nothing, you can never violate that. And if you go on a listing appointment at, let's say, 4 in the afternoon, then you can't do one at 2:30 and you can't do one at 7. And now you can only do one a day. So if you do 2:30 and 7, you go 2:30, you know, you go on the lonely old person that likes to talk a lot. I call that the Batan Death March, right? But you get the listing. And then you have time to eat dinner and then have your 7 o'clock appointment too. And you're probably done at 9. And, you know, that's 2 listings in one day. So it's money.
So now how quickly do you think, because I always get this, some people say, well, it takes a long time to ramp up. You know, it takes a year or 2 years before you can start really making money in real estate. The people who follow the protocol that you're saying, get knocking all your calls out in the beginning of the day, getting to 5 appointments a week, how quickly can they start really making big money in real estate?
Well, you know, I have a guy, he was on our group coaching call just the other day in Mustang, Oklahoma.
Okay.
They had, I don't know if you heard about Mustang, Oklahoma, but they had a tornado there recently. It did $3 million worth of improvements. It's that kind of town. But anyway, it's outside of Oklahoma City.
Yep.
He did, signed up for the coaching on 2 days after he got his license in real estate. In his first 4 weeks, he did 4 listings. He did 6 listing appointments scheduled last week. So he's taking a listing every week. There's a guy with a testimonial on my website at fearlessagent.com where he started coaching with me on his very first day in real estate. In year one, he did 53 listings. In year two, he did 86 closings. Year three, he did over 130. He made just under $1 million in his third year. So if it's taking you longer than a week or two to get ramped up, you're either saying the wrong words or you're not on the phone enough. But that would be the problem. I don't ever coach somebody where I know they're not going to succeed. I can tell in my initial phone call with somebody whether they've got what it takes, not to succeed in real estate, but to succeed with me. I mean, you have to be nice. If you're a lot of these other coaches, they turn you into this high pressure, like argumentative, that isn't what real sales has nothing to do with that. And truthfully, the guy that taught me sales in real estate, if I had not have learned it from him, I would have never learned it because no one else taught it. Real sales training, you could get it if you worked for Xerox or some big, you know, they have the best sales training in the world. But in real estate, if you don't learn it from me or you don't learn it from that other guy, you're not going to learn it. And once you do learn sales, it makes it so much more pleasant and the conversations are easier. There's no arguing.
My best salesperson right now is 4 months into the business. They came from Staples. They got trained there. And the stuff that he's
Staples. Oh, okay.
The stuff that he is bringing into my brokerage on the sales level, I'm kind of, you know, blown away by. Just having a methodology to every appointment. And it's something that, you know, I don't see many people do. And he just walked in and he just started crushing it on day one. Because like you mentioned with the Xerox, they've got real sales training, which, you know, makes me circle back around. How don't these brokerages teach it? I mean, it seems so simple.
You know why? It's because the skill set, like if you went to a lot of my customers are real estate company owners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're very successful. Almost none of them sold real estate. Mm-hmm. They are at any real level. They had a real estate license, but you know, they were a business person, they were successful in another business, and they, you know, like an auto parts store, they sell their auto parts store, they got a bunch of money, they go, hey, this real estate thing looks easy, let's do that. And the real skill set in a real estate company is recruiting agents. That's where the money is. So that's the sales model. So if they're struggling in that, we can help them with that. But really, they don't know how to teach. You can't teach somebody to play the piano when you don't know how to play the piano. It's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I got into real estate, my broker was fantastic, great guy, but not a great sales guy. And I struggled, you know, for 5 years, and then finally just met the only person in the entire real estate industry that could have taught me. Now, there were people that were successful in real estate, but, you know, there are people who, like in my office, my partner and I were the top producing team. It was not a team. It was just a partnership. And new agents would come to our office and we were the top producing team in the whole state of Arizona for Century 21. There were 800 agents in our own office. And they would, the new agent would go to this married couple who lived in a multi-million dollar house. They drove a big Cadillac Escalade and a big Mercedes, and asked them for advice, not realizing that those people didn't make enough money in real estate to make the payments on that house and that car. Mm-hmm. And just looked rich because they were rich the day they got into real estate. So when I get into real estate, I'm flat broke. I stayed that way for 5 years. Then I learned how to sell. And then I became, you know, very, very successful. So you can't learn it from somebody who, you know, I can't teach you how to have a rich daddy. Mm-hmm. I can't teach you how to already be wealthy. And the way most, you know, the two-step process, I'll give you a two-step process for making $1 million in real estate. Okay, step number one, start with $900,000. That's the way most people do it. So when you see most rich people in real estate, they were rich the day they got into real estate, and they can't teach you that. So you need to learn it from somebody who was broke, who became rich, and felt the pain that you felt. And then the other common problem I have, or my students have, is they come to me after they're already successful. So they're doing 50, 60, 70 transactions a year, and they know how to do that, but they don't know how to have a life while they're doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, real estate can be a great living, but it is not necessarily a great life. So, you know, I never worked a weekend. That means no phone calls on Saturday or Sunday, no emails, no texting ever. So that can be done if you focus on listings. That can be done. Let's put it that way. So
when you say no weekends, you had other people kind of running your open houses and things like that.
Well, I didn't do open houses. That was just a personal problem. You know, when you're doing a whole bunch of listings a year, you don't have time to do open houses. But I do recommend open houses though. It's a great way to make money.
Yep.
Here's the way to look at it. If you've got calling your sphere, everybody should write this down. If they have a pen, old fashioned pen and paper, this is what paper looks like in case you forgot. But calling your sphere, asking for referrals. First of all the sources of business are, you know, spending lots of time and money on advertising schemes that may or may not work. If you're buying leads, I would shut that down immediately. That seems crazy to me. Because open houses are legal. Then there's calls from the sign, incoming calls, your buddies calling you, hey, look, you know, we're ready to sell. But on the proactive side, there's calling your sphere, cold calling, door knocking, weather permitting, calling for sale by owners, calling expireds, holding open houses, and there are no other things. You know, that's it. So I always say this, the secret to life is not doing what you love. It is avoiding what you hate, okay? So know what you hate and don't do it. So me personally, and I don't impose my tastes on customers, I didn't like open houses, okay? And that was just my thing, right? And I'm very good at them. I could walk into your open house and schedule an in-office appointment for you, no problem. But it just wasn't my thing. So figure out the thing you say, I hate that, I'm not going to do that. For example, if the money was the same, I always ask people this, if the money was the same, and just from a personal preference, would you rather only work with buyers or only work with sellers? Mm-hmm. And, you know, most agents pretty much only work with buyers or prefer it for whatever reason, like 90% of them. If you prefer that, then I would do that. And yes, you'd make more money if you focused on sellers only, but you wouldn't enjoy it. So don't do what you don't enjoy. So I coach people that they don't want to do sellers, that they're buyer only, and that's fine. And I decided one day, I don't know if you've ever had this day, but probably some of you have had this day where you say, if I ever put another buyer in my car again, I'll go crazy. My head will explode.
Yeah.
And I got rid of my lockbox key and I bought a Corvette so that the buyers wouldn't even fit in it and I couldn't relapse on them. And there's a warning. My wife was not happy with that purchase, but she did get over it. But it was the best thing I ever did. And then I just did sellers only, never showed another house. When my best friend bought a house, my partner took him out. I never showed a single house after that day. And that's what getting upset will do to you. That's all I'm saying. So
yeah, I like that because I think a lot of people say they do everything and then they're not really good at buyers or sellers. And then they don't make a lot of money.
That's right. I would say focus is for winners. Multitasking is for losers. I don't want you to be mediocre at 50 different things. I want you to be a rock star at one thing. And then when you're great at that, then add one other thing if you want to.
But so when you're talking about the five different types of appointments that you have, so you master one of those first, is that how you do it?
Well, I think you need to be competent at all the real estate conversations. I don't think you're a fully formed real estate agent if you don't have a killer listing presentation, pricing presentation. The listing presentation, at the end of it, they have to be saying, hey, you're the guy. We wouldn't even consider any other agent. We're going to do whatever you tell us to do. The pricing presentation gets them to say, hey, why don't we just underprice our house right off the bat? And you say, yeah, that's what I would do. And then the for sale by owner presentation gets the for sale by owner to say, yeah, this FSBO idea, I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, you're right. I know I need a realtor. The buyer presentation gets them to, what I wanted to do with the buyer presentation is eliminate all FHA and VA buyers. I didn't want to mess with them. And I wanted to have only the buyers that have at least 20 or 30% to put down. Then get them to sign the buyer broker agreement eagerly and then give a raving fan endorsement to my partner or some other agent in my office that was great with buyers. And then they take them and pay me a referral fee. And then the investor presentation really became like a little cottage industry for me. I just kind of came up with that. And
tell us about that.
When I sold my business to another agent, about 60% of my business was investors. So, but then, and presenting the offer, knowing how to do that correctly. So that's the skill set that I think every fearless agent should have at least.
What is the fifth one, the investor presentation?
Well, I did buy and hold investors. I picked the part of town, the type of property. And I said, if you do this, you're going to make an astronomically high rate of return. If you don't, it'll be less. If you don't want to do that, that's no problem. You can do something else, but you just can't do it with me because I don't want to be around when that burns down. So it guaranteed them that they're going to have a very high rate of return. And they were already, most of them, in underperforming real estate. Or some of them were brand new investors, but you know, most of them were 70. The average real estate investor is probably 70 years old because you have to have money, right? And young people are broke. I don't know if you noticed that in America, but anyway, that's kind of how that happened. And then they became, you know, like I did 30 transactions with this 80-year-old couple, and they referred me lots of people. I got them out of all their underperforming real estate assets into something that were very high performing. So, and they referred me other people. Investors refer you other people too. That's another great thing about them. But it just kind of happened on accident. And I'm just good at presentations. I'm a presentation guy. So I just thought it up, and now people all over the country use it. And hey, what the heck, right?
So what is kind of working with you? You know, a real estate agent, they're brand new. They come to you, they say, Bob, you know, I want to become a top producing agent. How can you help me? What does that actually look like?
What we do is I ship out 5 presentations to you. You get the visuals, and there's really no magic to those, but you get audio, video of me demonstrating those. So it's listing, pricing, FSBO, buyer, and investor. And then we supply you with all the words to say on the phone for every situation. And then we do a separate version of those that's for messages that you would leave when you're not on a live, when you get the machine. And then what to say at an open house, part of a listing presentation in print so they can start learning that before the shipment arrives. And then they can call me anytime. I don't have anything better to do than to make them rich in real estate so that I'm not, it's not like they're bothering me. And if they ever have a question about anything, I want them to call me. And then the third part, and then that way they're getting way more coaching and they're getting it when they need it, not at some arbitrary time that somebody picked. And then the third part is we have a weekly group coaching call, and that is actual sales training. It's nothing they've ever been exposed to before. So we cover in great depth all 5 of the presentations, all the phone dialogues, all the systems and strategies for prospecting, presenting, objection handling, pricing, farming, database, follow-up systems, something we call the referral factory, your mindset, how to think right, how to hire assistants, how to do your marketing correctly without blowing a bunch of money. So it's everything that they would need to hit any level of production. And then that's one solid hour of me teaching on 1 or 2 topics of my choosing. And then there's usually about a half an hour for questions on any topic. So they get a little bit of everything. And then each episode of that is recorded for them so they don't have to be on the call live. So that's that's the whole package.
And how long does that coaching last for?
Well, I've got people that have been doing it for 12. People never cancel. You know, we don't lock people into any time frame. So I got people that have been doing it for 12 years.
Okay, so tell me.
They love my jokes. They keep coming back for the jokes.
Okay, so I guess it must be, you know, priced a little bit differently than most coaching programs. Because most
$997 one-time membership fee, and then $97 a month as a subscription in addition to that.
Okay, so, yeah, so that's definitely a little bit different because, you know, most coaching programs you get into, it's, you know, $1,500 a month, and then...
Really? Well, then mine is $1,500 a month.
Man, yeah. And I mean, $97 a month, I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that's...
That's the current price. After this thing, it will be $1,500 a month.
Well, I'm sure you're aware of... You must be aware of all of the different, you know, platforms, the Tom Ferry's and stuff like that.
There's other platforms?
There's other platforms, yeah.
I did not know that.
So... what advice would you give to somebody who's on day one? What's the biggest piece of advice you could give them in order to be successful?
Well, I always have my students do 2 things at the same time. 2 at the same time. One is learn the 5 presentations at their own pace, you know, that everybody learns different speed. And then, and be pure to those. And then, call till your butt falls off, and then I'll show you a new way to sit. That's what I always say. So really, you being on the phone, hearing what they say, you know, just being on the phone, getting your head kicked in on the phone. I'll tell you a day that changed my life. One day I called from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I took bathroom breaks, food breaks, coffee breaks, and just cold calling. And it literally changed my life because I had heard everything, every crazy thing that every seller would ever say in one day. And I didn't schedule a listing appointment, but I got some very good leads. And I knew at the end of that day that you could stick me in any town with a real estate license and a phone, and I'm going to be able to make an above average income. No doubt about that. And I did that every day after that until I couldn't. And the reason I couldn't was and this is even before I was trained in sales, but the reason I couldn't do it is because if I'm on a 2:30 afternoon, appointment, you can't be on the phone also. So
how do you know when you get a coaching student and they're on the phone and they're not booking as many appointments as that you think they should or they think they should? How do you know what they're doing wrong and how do you correct it?
It's three things. It's one, two, or three of three things. It's they either are targeting the wrong people, or they suck on the phone, which is fixable, and or they're not getting their question answered. So if you're a fearless agent, we follow a formula. And this is the secret to sales, okay? I call it the science of sales. In any sales situation, there is one magic question that needs to be asked. And you need to have this elaborate setup before it that causes them to not ever get it wrong. And that, in a split second, you'd be able to have to ascertain what is the magic question, what's the setup, and do it. And if you're talking slow, then they're less likely to interrupt you, and you have time to think that up. So targeting, if they're targeting the wrong people, if you ask Jesse James, why did he rob banks? The answer was because that's where the money is. And real estate agents get paid out of something called the equity. And millennials all have something. And you look like a millennial. Are you a millennial?
I'm 35. I don't even know how old
I am. You're the last year.
Am I the last year?
You're qualified.
Yeah, yeah.
But your friends are all broke. They all have crushing school debt and they'll never have any money. So ignore the millennials. Go after their parents.
Yeah.
Old people have equity. And I'm coming out with a new cologne. It's called Equity. It smells like Bengay and mothballs. Do you know? So if you're driving through a neighborhood and you smell, is that Bengay? Is that mothballs? That's equity. That's old people. And they live in older neighborhoods. So if you are, what town are you in?
I'm in Wakefield, which is 10 miles north of Boston.
Okay. So Boston probably is, but that's a high appreciating area, I'm guessing. I don't know. But usually a good rule of thumb would be 1995 or older neighborhoods have equity.
Oh, yeah, 1995 and older, yeah, tons of equity.
I do it this way. The houses all have to have doubled in value since they were built. That would be a good rule of thumb. So if you're targeting older people, older neighborhoods, that's the targeting. And then single family homes only, because condos and multifamily never gets any equity. That stuff doesn't go up in value. So just focus on single family homes only, old people. That cures a lot of problems right there. Mm-hmm. If they don't have equity, the only conversation they ever want to have is grinding you on your commission and overpricing their house. And I always say, if you go looking for trouble, you'll find it. So young people is trouble. If they're buyers, that's fine. But old people is what you want. Old people like me. I'm one of them now. So that's it. And then just always get your question answered on the phone. Don't ask bad questions. Don't say the words you see all these nitwits on YouTube saying. Wait a minute. I am one of those nitwits on YouTube. All right, forget I said that.
Well, what type of things are you talking about?
Well, I was noticed that the other coaches are asking insane questions.
Like what?
Like they'll call an expired and they'll say, why do you think your house didn't sell? I cannot imagine a dumber question. If I lied awake nights, that would be the dumbest question, because think about it. If they knew why their house didn't sell, it would have sold, number one. Their answer probably would be because you idiots didn't sell it when it was for sale.
Yep.
So nothing good could come from that. And I'm the agent. I should know why it didn't sell. And by the way, I do know. It didn't sell because it was invisible to the one buyer on planet Earth willing to pay more for it than anybody else in the whole world, and probably the top 100 buyers. That's why it didn't sell. I don't tell them that. but at least I know it. And so just the words they say are crazy. And then they ask a question, the people don't answer it. They just keep moving on as if it wasn't important. It's just has nothing to do with sales, frankly.
Do you, Wayne, as part of your program, do you have any recordings of other people making calls? Or
no, thank goodness. No, you need to go make the calls. You don't need to record them. What happens is when you make a call and you're using the right words, then what happens is they'll say something that's the wrong answer, or they didn't answer the question. They'll answer some question you did not ask more commonly. Mm. And then the agent, my coaching student, calls me and they say, hey, I said this and they said that. I go, well, that's easy. You just didn't get the question answered. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, yeah. I go, okay, we'll do better next time. And that's the coaching scam. That's how it works. But basically, yeah, it's all the problems on prospecting are they didn't get their question answered. And it's just a discipline that you have to have. You know, it's just like I do it with kids. I'll say to some high school kid, I'll say, hey, what do you want to be if you grow up? And they go, I don't know. And I go, well, if you did know, what would the answer be? And they go, marine biologist. Just like that, they know. So if you just keep asking the same question, you can ask it a different way. But like on an expired, if I called an expired, I would say, hi, my name is Bob Leffler. I'm a real estate agent with a company called Fearless Agent Realty. And I was just calling because my records indicate that your house was for sale and left the market unsold. Is that true? Now, it either is true or it's not. And that's kind of a complicated thing, though. They go, yeah. I said, well, the reason I'm calling you is I specialize in helping people who have had their house for sale, but they were unsuccessful because their agent didn't do their job. Do you think that was the case for you? Now, I don't want to tell them that their agent didn't do their job. I want to see if they will tell me that their agent didn't do their job. So, you know, they're expireds. What do you think 80% of them do? Do you think they blame their agent? No. They say, no, it wasn't my agent's fault. And then, you know, think about it. If it's either their house is such a crappy house that all the others will sell, but theirs won't sell, and the agent's great, and even the greatest agent couldn't sell it, or maybe there was some room for improvement in what the agent did. Do you think maybe that was the thing? So if they say, well, yeah, maybe, you know, I don't need them to attack their agent, but I need him to say, yeah, we're not happy that our house didn't sell. We think there was some room for improvement. And then every fearless agent would say, well, you know, I just want you to know I do business completely differently than all other agents. It virtually guarantees you of two things. One is that your house actually will sell. Number two is that you will end up with way, way more money, bottom line, than you could get any other way. Would you say that's definitely what you're looking for? If they say yes to that, even if they just blame their agent, you're going to get the appointment booked every single time. Mm-hmm. So if they say, how many houses have you sold in my neighborhood, Bob? I'd say, well, would you say that is what you're looking for? Are you allergic to money? Or do you want your house to sell for more? If there was a magic trick that I could do, and I can, it would cause the buyer to grossly overpay for your house, and they'd be happy they did, and you'd end up with way more money, is that what you want? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So can I explain step by step exactly how I do that? And they always say yes. They say, okay, step number one is we're going to meet. And I like to meet with people in the afternoons or the evenings. Do you and your wife have 9-to-5 jobs? Yes, we do. You know, I've got 7 p.m. available next Thursday. I'm booked until then. Or the following Monday, would that be better? And then you book the appointment. And they find out about all the other steps after that. So effortless. And you'll always schedule the appointment if they blame their agent, I promise you.
And are you somebody that when you're face-to-face, you try to do a two-step or a one-step appointment?
One step. Time management.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, some of them turn into a two-step or a three-step, you know, because the people are satanic or whatever. But don't set it up that way. You want to do one step. If you're a fearless agent, you're going to be able to walk into a stranger's house, get it listed at full commission. You'll always win. You'll always beat out every other agent. And when I say full commission, I mean it rhymes with heaven, but it's not 11%. You keep 4. You get a one-year listing when everybody else is doing 90 days. You get them underpriced on day one because they begged you to do it. You get pre-signed price reductions of $25,000 or $5,000 just in case you screwed it up. That would be effortless every time. So if you just do things in the right order, then everything goes your way. And you can do it in one stop.
Awesome. So for those of you who, for those of the listeners that want to work with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
This will be a shameless plug.
Go right ahead.
Here's how it goes, okay? First of all, you could call me on the telephone, right? 480-385-8810. Toll free day or night. I won't answer, but you can call me. No, I'll answer. I'll call you back very quick. You can go to fearlessagent.com. We have a 45-minute free test drive webinar. It's packed with jokes, so don't worry, okay? No good information. It's all jokes. Go to that. You might learn something. I don't know. But if you at the end of that, you would probably have a pretty good idea whether Fearless Agent was right for you. Let's say it's right for you, but you're broke. You don't have any money. No problem. Go to the videos page, scroll down to the bottom. There's a whole bunch of videos. Watch them from the bottom up. They're in a more logical order that way. Why are they backwards? Because my web guy's an idiot. Don't ask me. It's too hard. I can't fix him. That's my problem. So watch them from the bottom up. It gives you a real solid foundation on the basics of sales. And that would help you make enough money to afford Fearless Agent coaching. Even if you're not a coaching student of mine, you can always call me. I'm always happy to help you. We always help you for free until you can afford it. So that's how we do it.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today. Extremely valuable advice.
You got movie star good looks. First of all, you're perfect for the podcast or the video or whatever we call this. Yeah. Beautifully done.
Thank you very much. All right, everybody. I'm Tom Caffarella signing off from the Real Estate Mogul Podcast. Thank you again, Bob, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.